Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out, procrastination, putting it off, kicking the can down the road. In, plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out, carpet in the bathroom. Like, why? In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of the Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to the Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Pass the aux cord and crank up the volume. Figgy Figs in the driver's seat. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the ride. It's time for Figgy's Mixtape on Sports Radio 610.
Yep, it's the mixtape in the loop. Sports Radio 610. Figgy Fig holding it down on a Wednesday. Happy Wednesday to everyone out there. And I got to give a special shout out. Or you know what? We got to give a special shout out to the Houston Rockets, man. Not only are they in the playoffs, but man, we facing them Golden State Warriors, man.
Yes, sir.
And we geared up, man. I'm ready to hit the court, man.
Look at that.
What you got? What you got? Tell the people what you got.
Number 25 in your program.
We're all number 25. Oh, you got the 2025.
Oh, you got the Brook Lopez.
Yeah, I got a John P. Lopez. I got a John P. Not Brook, not Robin. John P. Lopez.
Ain't no attitudes in the league. Yeah. Unfortunately, because yeah. I feel like if it was an attitude in the league, it'd have been me.
It's pretty sweet stuff, man.
Yeah, nah, this
is
legit.
Shout out to the
man.
Rockets.
And look, I think my favorite part is they got my government.
Government
on it. Hey. Are you happier with your government or actually, Figgy Fig on the back?
I like Figgy Fig, but you know, I'm not, you know, I guess pissed off at my last name.
That's right. You're not
so
embarrassed.
I think my pops would probably be super happy about this one. Yeah. My pops and rest in peace to my grandfather.
Oh, yeah. He played for the Celtics. Your uncle.
No. That's on the other side of the family.
Oh, okay.
But,
okay.
Yeah, man. I like that they put my last name on there, man.
So. Don't take that with you if you go to Cleveland, though. They might take it off.
Oh, work.
Say my name. Let me hold on to this, young
fella. Yeah. But shout out to the Rockets, man. I'm really pumped up for this playoff game, man. Yeah. I think I didn't want to face the Warriors. I'd rather face Memphis. Mm-hmm. But
it's more exciting. It's going to be more
Warriors
fun.
The Warriors here, man. Yeah, nah. I think the Rockets probably juiced up about facing the Warriors, too.
For sure.
Man.
Yeah, ask Tari Eason. Tari Eason don't say he don't like the Warriors.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, Steven Adams has a good reason to dislike at least one of the Warriors. Dylan Brooks.
Yeah, you think?
Dylan Brooks don't like nobody, I don't think, to be completely honest. Mm-hmm.
I kind of want to watch the movie now, The Warriors.
Warriors.
Yeah.
We don't need to do that again.
Come on, play.
That was a cause of controversy. Was that last year? So, yeah.
Oh,
We don't need to do that one again.
Yeah. All right, so it's Figgy's Mixtape in the Loop, Sports Radio 610, and we are 8 days away from the NFL draft. It kind of don't feel like it. I feel like it just popped up. But
the way we've been talking about the draft all this time?
I feel like we've been talking about it a little bit, but I think maybe because it's the 25th pick and it's so far away where we just kind of like.
Yeah.
Because I maybe the last couple years have been more.
Yeah.
Because it's higher picks and all that stuff. But
when you have the number 2 overall pick, I have a feeling it feels just a little bit different.
Yeah.
When 25 sitting right there.
Yeah. And speaking of the number 2 overall pick, the Cleveland Browns got that pick.
Correct.
And it looked like it's going towards Travis Hunter. Now, some things could change, but I think they're probably going to go with Travis Hunter. And I wonder what Roger Goodell gonna do here, because usually when he announced the pick, he said in the 2025 NFL draft, the Cleveland Browns select Travis Hunter, wide receiver, Colorado. Is he gonna say both of the positions he play?
Well, let Travis Hunter tell it. He wants him to say both of them. Mm-hmm. In fact, I mean, this isn't about saying the positions. This is about letting him play it. And maybe this shows up tomorrow. I don't know if you remember. Do you know what I'm about to say?
What's that?
That he, I think he told CBS Sports last week that he would consider walking away if the team didn't let him do both of them. Like, so he's dead serious about people taking serious his ability to play both. And he can. Like, he is a blue chip prospect on both sides of that. Mm-hmm. Like, this isn't one of those, well, he does both of that and that's what makes him a no.
He doesn't dabble.
If he was a blue if he was a just a cornerback, he'd be a first round cornerback. And if he was just a wide receiver, he'd be a first round wide receiver in the same way that he is in both of those places. And so, yeah, man, it feels like you gotta do that. And I mean, come on, Raj,
I feel like they are. This is just like this is fluff. Roger Goodell's not coaching him. You know, if he wants to, I think he's gonna default to, hey, what do you want me to say? If you want me to say both, I'll say both.
I think so, too. Yeah. Here's Travis Hunter pretty much saying he wants Roger Goodell to say both of the positions.
What position do you want to hear the commissioner say when he says Travis Hunter?
He's going to say wide receiver and DB. Got you.
So just wide receiver, DB, not athlete?
No, I need to say wide receiver and DB.
Yeah, I would like to hear it, man.
I would, too.
I don't think it was ever done before, because he ain't the first person to play both sides.
Well, he would be the first person to play both sides in the way that he's trying to.
Yeah, but I'm talking about in college that play, because you had like Chris Gamble that played both sides, but he went into the draft as a cornerback.
Right. Even Deion.
Yeah.
And even Deion.
Deion was a defensive back and then had some wide receiver. Like this is in a way historic, even though we have seen players capable of doing it. I don't think that we've had the player empowerment or what have you for a player to actually be able to force is not the right word, but it's the best one that comes to mind in this moment. Force a team to really have to consider doing this. And so, yeah, man, this is kind of wild that he's in that place.
I actually don't think it's that big a deal, and I don't think it's that big of an issue for Roger Goodell. Roger Goodell, at its core in this event, he's an MC.
Yeah.
He's an MC. And if I were, you know, every time I MC and introduce someone, I'm like, how would you like for me to introduce you?
That's right.
You know?
Because in this instance, it's really not about Raj, and I think he understands that to some degree. It's about all these dudes.
Right.
And that's what, like, their stories are the event. That's what makes this the event that they've been able to sell, is the stories and the, you know, the beginning of careers of these dudes, at least as a professional or in the National Football League, because, I mean, they're basically professionals now anyway.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I think he understands that. So I have a strong feeling that he'll go ahead and say both wide receiver, defensive back. Now, how much of it does it then come down to, does it matter which one he says first?
No, I don't think it matters.
I don't think that matters. I think if we had to place a bet, I think he's going to say receiver and then defensive back first.
And someone from the 832, how does his position affect his contract? Well, wide receivers seem to be making more on the high end than cornerbacks. So, I mean, but that's years down the road, and depending on how this works. And if he can actually do this for an extended period of time of playing both ways, but it don't matter which position because he will get paid all of the money somehow, some way.
Yep, it's the mixtape in the loop. So, Rich Paul, who's a super Asian, we all know.
You mean Adele's boyfriend?
Yeah, I forgot he's that too.
That's such a wild thing.
Isn't that weird?
He is the winningest of win. Like, is it weird to say that I think Rich Paul has benefited more than anybody in that general, like, LeBron story, even considering LeBron, or am I doing too much in that moment?
What? I mean, he's got a...
I think so.
I don't think that's crazy. I'll put it that way. It ain't crazy.
Especially where he started. Like,
because he wasn't... Nobody knew who he was.
A dude from Cleveland.
Yeah.
Over on St. Clair, just the way he started. And now Adele is on my right hand, right arm.
Yeah. Super agent.
Super agent. He dipping into everything. NBA, he dipping into all over sports.
Media. All that.
Media. So, I don't think that's far-fetched. But let me see if this is far-fetched. So he was on the Pat McAfee show, and he had this to say about the whole Big Three thing, and was Miami a Big Three?
People talk Big Three, but, the Big Three thing has never really worked. And you say, well, what happened in Miami? That wasn't really a Big Three. There was three guys that were went in the lottery and they did really well individually on their team. So they put up big numbers and had big accomplishments. But when you think about it, Bosh was the ultimate professional. He took a back seat and he played a role in which, because he had such a high IQ and he was such a professional as an individual, his approach to everything is what made that work.
I take back everything nice I said about Rich Paul.
Wow.
By the way, he said, well, that wasn't really a big three. And then he went on to explain in detail why they were a big three. Well, they were all really, really good players, top picks. They had great careers. All, you know, he basically said, you know, they were the best player on their team. And then they came together. That's a big three. That's a big three.
See, I feel like he was kind of right and very wrong on this. Because I think the part he was right on was Bosh did have to take a back seat, which means, you know, it was a good two. It was LeBron and D-Wade, and unfortunately Chris Bosh had to take that back seat because, I mean, you ain't scoring no 200 points. Somebody's going to have to take a decline. But I still feel like that was the big three. Bosh was the big three. He was just the one that was affected the most. I just don't. I felt like he's trying to clean this up so LeBron won't look as bad.
Protect the bell cow.
Yeah, by saying
protect the bell cow.
Because when you talk about LeBron, you always bring up the big three in Miami. The big three in Miami. It seemed like he's trying to say, well, actually, it wasn't the big three. And Chris Bosh was a dog, man.
24 and 11.
Hall of Famer.
The season before he went to Miami.
He was a dog, man.
Five straight All-Stars in those seasons before. Absolutely, it's a big three.
Hall of Famer.
The one thing I will question here, as you guys have laid it out, I'm with you. It was absolutely a big three. I don't understand what the benefit is of trying to reframe this, because I don't think that actually changes how people view LeBron James.
It won't change anything because people are set. People are set how they feel about LeBron. Ain't no debate going to change anything on how people feel. But I think he's trying to get that whole LeBron started this big three narrative out of there, man.
Mm-hmm.
It was a big three. Like, no matter how you put it.
No matter how you put it.
Yeah, it was a big three.
He just doesn't want to make LeBron mad. He wants to help LeBron. He wants to make him look good.
I don't know that this changes.
I don't know it will either. I don't know if LeBron will get mad.
I don't know that it would be the incentive for doing it on the front end for him. I think he just believes this, which honestly is probably a little bit more sad because why? Why do you believe this? The one thing I will say is I do, and if you guys are right, I would agree with this point. I think that people always try and put it LeBron, like LeBron did the big three, as if we did not look at the, what was that, 2008?
Mm-hmm.
The Boston Celtics.
Yeah.
That was the first big three that we saw put together. I think people are just a lot more comfortable with it because it was the general manager in the organization that were the ones that put this together. And I would like people to examine why that is something that they're comfortable with. Oh, it's cool amassing this amount of talent if it originates from that side of this, if it originates from the general manager's putting it together, but all of a sudden the players want to play together and that becomes an issue in assembling the talent. Yeah, right. If you don't like the notion of a big three, it should be across the board in that way.
Well, yeah, but I'm just fascinated by he's just going to whatever it takes to make LeBron, even though it's not a factor, make him look good, look better.
You know? Yeah. And like I said, everybody's stuck in their ways, man. Whatever he say, it ain't going to change anything.
No.
But they going to try. They going to try to do whatever they can to say, oh, no. To me, it seemed like he's trying to make it seem like LeBron won it the hard way.
Mm-hmm.
And which I think it's fair to say. I ain't going to sit here and say it was easy for him. But I think he's trying to do as much as they can to make it seemed like LeBron, this wasn't as easy as we say it was.
Yeah. See, now, if you really wanted, like, the thing that I would say, it wouldn't actually work, but if I was trying to be the person that was spinning this, if I could manage to make it shake, the real thing I would go for is J.J. Barea ain't even that short. Like, J.J. Barea is actually, like, it's an optical illusion. He's actually 6'3".
He's kind of stocky.
He's actually 6'3". Because that was the real problem, is that, what was that, 2011? Mm-hmm. That he let J.J. Barea punk him? in the finals. That's the real problem when we talk about that Miami stint.
Hey, don't be surprised if they come out of nowhere and be like, hey, you know what? That Dallas Mavericks team was one of the best teams of all time, y'all. I know they don't get enough credit, but that was one of the hardest teams. That was one of the best teams ever.
I mean, it was a tough path to go, but yeah, that'd be a very funny PR spin to put on there. All right, yeah. That is Figgy's Mixtape every weekday, 1:20 p.m. right here on Sports Radio 610 at the Figgy Fig. On social media, but not on the back of his Rockets jersey. If you want to get at him, if you find something that you believe to be mixtape worthy. All right. Coming up next, we get ready to hand it off to the fellas of the drive. Clinton Ron, we'll do it next.